As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're going to, as always, take a short break before we get started to give everyone an opportunity to get online so then we can go ahead and start our show. We want to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to express their opinion about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. James T. DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I want to talk today. We've been talking in the past 2 days about our elected officials and our governmental agencies and those people who work for the taxpayers being professional. And I was looking through the news today, and I found a situation where two public school teachers just were not professional at all. And in fact, they actually put a student's existence in danger because of their immaturity. And so, you know, I wanted to talk about a nationwide phenomenon that's going on across our country related to bullying and how bullying has gotten very much out of control because of social media and people's ability to reach beyond school and into the personal lives of students in order to disrupt their existence. And we all know how vulnerable children are at all different ages, from grade school all the way up to high school. Young people are dealing with trying to get their emotions and their minds together, and they don't really need to be dealing with people talking about their shortcomings. And clearly these two teachers had gotten involved on a personal level with a student and were encouraging their classmates to attack them, even to the point where they were threatening the other students to lower their grades if they did not say ugly and unscrupulous things to students. One teacher was suspended, and then the other teacher followed suit, doing the same thing, encouraging students to say ugly things to this young girl and telling her she didn't have any reason to live and attacking her on a personal level. And it's just unconscionable. It's unbelievable that adults would stoop to the level of getting involved in their students' personal lives to the point where they wanted to bring them harm. You know, and I don't know what was encouraging these teachers to do that, but what I do know is that kind of unprofessionalism needs to be met with a stern warning, and both of these teachers were suspended and possibly may be fired. And so, you know, when we were talking about police officers yesterday, that's what kind of thing I mean is when you don't know how to act in a professional manner, then your very livelihood may be at stake. And so that people who work for the taxpayers ought to recognize that their jobs require them to be professional at all times. And somehow or another, these people have lost their way and somehow or another allowed themselves to get in down into the dirt of evil against the very people that they were supposed to be self-guarding. You know, you can never risk the lives of young people because of some personal vendetta you may have against them. And it's just sad that we have the situation where these people felt comfortable with encouraging their students to fight the students, to call them names, and to do all kind of despicable things. And again, these young people have enough problems trying to get through their lives from grade school to adulthood without adults participating in the kind of damaging things that these teachers seem to be participating in. And it's just a sad situation that they saw fit to do that. I see that we're still waiting for many of our callers to come in. So before I really get into the conversation, I want to allow them the opportunity to call in. So I'm going to take another quick break, and we'll come back and get started.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me. Just you and me. things I can do to you, and so many ways I can't believe. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers, some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would, cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. See, there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach.
Both of them have since been suspended. But we're dealing with, why are our professional teachers being caught up in the personal lives of their students? And what is it we need to do to better safeguard our students and encourage our teachers to remain on the right side of the line? Dee, what are your thoughts about teachers seemingly over the recent years just taking liberties to get involved with our students on personal levels? And here we have two students who, teachers who've been suspended for bullying a female student, grade level student, a young girl that should have had their support and not their ridicule.
Well, James, I saw the article to the link that you sent, and you know, I was really shocked and actually horrified that adults would be less mindful of the part that they play in a child's life. You would think that children have enough to deal with peer pressure among their peers, and here are some grown behind educators stooping to the level of weakening and being a destructive factor in a child's self-esteem. I've never seen anything like it, and saw that it was from the state of Louisiana. It's kind of mind-boggling, and to say the least.
And two black females at that. I mean, to be encouraging their students to fight these kids and to threaten to reduce their grades if they didn't do as they were instructed just seemed to be just despicable and evil at best.
Yes, it's something that it needs to be corrected. You know, we on your show, we talk about all the time how we as want to expect more out of our kids and out of our young people. And here we have educators, grown folks, actually missing the boat, missing the opportunity to make a difference in a child's life. And it's not like when the children growing up, being children of color, gonna have all kind of oppositions in the first place. And it's just like they're so out of touch that they just don't seem to even care or even know.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see that these two people will risk their professional careers in ways of trying to get back at a child for whatever she might have done. Andre, we're talking today about bullying and the effect it has on our children, but what I saw and tried to mail out to everybody was a link regarding two adults who were engaged in bullying behavior with a student that was in their class, encouraging the kids to say ugly things to the child and threatening the other kids to fight the child or get their grades reduced. You know, what are we coming to when we can't feel comfortable with our children going to class and being protected by their teachers? Now they're being bullied by their teachers.
Well, that's truly unfortunate because, you know, that's what we depend on our children to be students and for them to look up to teachers and for teachers to really, you know, give them positive reinforcement in order to be the very best. And, you know, some people don't know how to reward and recognize positive. They only know how to do it negative, because to me, bullying is truly negative. So that's truly unfortunate.
Yeah, it's just amazing that here are two people who went to school or have received education related to the kind of damage that can be done to young people at an early age, but yet they were not any bit at all concerned about the damage they could have did on this child, even to the extent where some people were telling the child that she shouldn't even be alive. I mean, I just don't know where people get off supporting people telling young people this kind of foolishness, knowing that these kids are dealing with their brains not being fully developed and the kind of risk they put these kids at when they're doing these kinds of things to these children.
Yes. Yeah, because you're exactly right. Children, minds are informative, especially at a young age, and just the impact that will have for years and years to come, and then also from generation to generation, unless that curse or that thought is, you know, taken care of and handled. Otherwise, they'll pass that negative thought to the next generation, or at the very least, they'll have their children not to really respect and honor teachers, or at least that authority and the full potential in which it's capable of being.
We had a caller. The number is, I know, not a good number, but you've been on since the beginning of the call. So if you are, they took off. Okay. Yeah, you know, my problem is that you have these people who you put in trust with your child's life, speaking for the last 2 days about people being professional. And certainly we want our teachers who are being paid a decent wage to go to work every day and not get caught up into the name-calling or any of the foolishness that children might be involved in on a personal level. And, in fact, our expectations are that teachers will intervene to stop students from picking on one another, because all students are not prepared emotionally to handle the onslaught of their peers. We have to recognize that everybody has a different level of ability to take the kind of pressure that might be subject to because of young people's ridicule. Right, D, I mean, you don't know what child may snap and come to school or with a gun or snap and take their own lives. So these teachers really put themselves and these students at risk by behaving in this fashion.
James, you know, I think you're right, especially when, you know, students, kids and students have this defense mechanism where they can pretty much get by with the confrontational aspect that they might run into when it pertains to other children. They have a tendency to kind of shun that off. But when your parents and your teachers and other people that you taught to respect and look up to, when they call you stupid and when they say that you'll never amount to anything, I think those words coming from these type of individuals have a lasting effect, and it could cause a lot of psychological damage in a child's life coming from people like that.
Well, on a personal level, you know, I want to share with you all and go on record. You know, I stand at 6'6" right now, and when I was in middle school, I was about 5'11" or 6 feet in middle school in seventh grade. And when you're a tall person and you don't have, you know, the taller you get, the less coordinated you are at that time. You know, so your coordination has to grow into your height. Spent my seventh grade year being bullied and talked about, and the name that my peers gave me was Goofy. And it really hurt. You know, but I had supportive parents. You know, I didn't go around, you know, showing my unhappiness with them calling me that. I just put my my strength and my focus on becoming a better athlete over and over and over again. So though I didn't show a lot of athletic ability in seventh grade, when I got to the eighth grade, I was the second best basketball player in eighth grade, and the second best player in the ninth grade. I kind of stuck on second, even though different people beat me in the eighth grade and then the ninth grade. But I continued to, my abilities kept getting better, and I even went to Florida State for a camp and got second place. I don't know what it was about me in second place, but it really went a long way to helping me with my ego and helping me to overcome the other things that people would say, because then I started to believe they were just haters. You know, you had them guys, man, if I was as tall as you, I'd be doing this. If I was as tall as you, I'd do this. And, you know, it was just excuses. And so ultimately I went on to college, got a scholarship in college, but I do remember how painful those words were when people would call you things that were not positive. And so I sympathize with these young people who find themselves being brutalized by their peers and now being subject to the kind of foolishness by the adults. It's really something we need to really punish, other than just losing your job, don't you think, Audrey?
Well, I think we have to look at each individual situation, and we need to take action against it, but I don't think we could just paint a brush and say this is what we should do in every situation, because I think some of the bullying or negativity may be at different level, therefore they will require different responses. But I do think that yes, we have to hold people in authority accountable. Now, we're all humans, we all make mistakes, yes, but it's certain positions that we're in, we understand there's an additional accountability and responsibility that goes along with it. You know, even the scripture tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. And what that is referencing is a lot of different things. Sometimes it could be finances, but sometimes it could be, you know, experiences. It may be authority. It may be your position. It may be skills. But whatever we have, we become accountable for it. So, yes, some responsibility require, you know, discipline and actions accordingly.
Well, Dee, let me ask you this. What is it you think, what is it you think is, you believe that is happening that I have to tell you, I don't remember one teacher at all that I remember that came close to having any type of personal relationship with a student. And here we find ourselves lately where teachers, both females and males, seem to be getting in a lot of trouble because they don't know where the line is related to interacting with these children. You know, what has been your experience? I mean, I just saying in the 70s when I was in high schools, I just did not see any blatant teachers displaying any kind of, you know, affection for students. And here we are in the 90s and in the 20th century, and it seems like it's a everyday occurrence.
But James, you know, that's an interesting question. And when you speak about at what point were the teachers allowed or the blind eye was turned when they were interacting with students more in a personal way. I can only agree with you to say that I started noticing it more in the 90s. And I'm not sure what that means. I can only probably suggest that maybe indulgence in maybe a simpler form of narcotic. Well, pot is not really considered a narcotic, but it's a hip scene in the pot marijuana culture where you got to know that the students smoke pot, and the younger adults, teachers, they smoke pot in their pastime also. So somewhere along the line, they probably got together and started to share the bag together or their resources, and that put them in close proximity, and they got better acquainted in that way. I mean, other than that, I can't imagine how that would have happened.
Andre, what has been your experience? I mean, in the 70s when we were in high school, and do you think it's just social media that has given us this what seems to be a constant display of teachers overstepping their boundaries and getting involved in students' lives on a personal basis, both destructively through bullying and through intimate activity?
Well, I think it was occurring when we were coming up. I just think that we just didn't recognize it or understand it as much. And the reason I say that is because I can vaguely remember whisperings, if you would, about a teacher and a student. And then soon after that, that teacher was no longer at that school. I think they, you know, kept a lot of things quiet and just handle it, and of course social media and communications of and use of technology wasn't at the level that we have it now. But I do think not only does drugs impact that, but music impact, you know, social media plays a role. What we see at the movies and on television, it's a lot of shows that show, you know, adults having relationships, whether it's with their children, friends, or if it's a neighbor or if it's a student. So a lot of times people just duplicate that, and or we see shows and we think that it's acceptable to do that. But it all comes down to the choices that we make. As adults, we know that we are accountable and responsible, and especially when we are placed in a position of authority, we have to be very careful about how we respond to children. And you can sense when something is starting to occur and something that happened. So when that first inkling or that first thought start to go beyond just that normal communication, then it's up to that adult to act accordingly.
You know,
and that's
it was
where
my
we are.
Experience. Yeah, it was my experience that I spent 30 years as an Orange County public school teacher. And during that 30 years that I was in teaching, I don't recall spending any time or soliciting any time to be alone with a student. You know, I don't remember asking a student to come back to my room and so that we could be in class together alone. I don't remember taking any student home or creating any kind of environment where we might meet outside of the classroom or the student environment. And I also taught adult school, adult ed, and never did I even interact or have any kind of personal relationship with adult students who were in my classroom. And I spent some time at Valencia Community College, and there again, it just never came in my head that would be a good thing to do. You know, I'm always sharing little things with you guys about the kind of things I remember people saying to me. But one of the things I remember somebody saying, you know, don't get your honey at the same place you get your money. And so it was always in my head, you know, you never want to disrupt your career by having, you know, something close in proximity of a personal relationship. Dee, you're always telling me you never hear these things that I say. Have you ever heard of that one, Dee? Don't get your money at the same don't get your honey at the same place you get your money.
Yeah. Now I definitely heard that one. And there was another one that's a little bit more vulgar, but you know I'm not gonna dare say that. but I like Ms. Audrey's explanation. I'm sorry, was that Virginia on the other end?
No, it's Audrey.
Okay. Yes, I like her explanation better than the one I try to give, especially that with social media being in such a prevalent resource in our society today, especially when you got these private chat rooms, if you will, and students, and I got to tell you, Facebook, for one, it can be a real detriment because after hours, students got Facebook on the cell phones and they're in there, and a lot of times these teachers and preachers are on these social medias and they're doing selfies. The self-made pictures with the undies on. There was a preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, a preacher of one of the mega churches in Atlanta. Congregation was about 10,000 folk, and he was doing selfies to one of the other members of the church, and they got out, and that church has never been the same. So. I like that answer because I think that's something that we really need to pay more attention to.
Yeah, and you know, we just have to know that there's some things you need to avoid to keep yourself safe. And these people don't seem to be trying to determine, you know, to get themselves safe. And in some cases, we've heard of teachers who've actually had children from their students. I remember quite a while ago, many years ago, one of the adult teachers had two children from a student, and after he turned 19, they got married. And it just seems that people are just unable to see the line that is drawn and decide not to cross it.
Well, James, let me just share that some of the advice that I give to family members who are going in the educational field, when they go into a classroom or when they first receive their degree, I suggest that they don't, you know, start out with high school because they're young themselves, and high schoolers can be, I mean, they can dress up, you know, not necessarily appropriately. And again, just because you just completed your degree and this is your first charge, I don't think you're ready for that responsibility that goes with that, because you can find yourself in a situation before you know it. And from a personal experience, I tell you something that has stuck with me, and I'm so appreciative. I was young, and I don't remember how young, but I was going to work at for our church, and it's a Catholic church, and I was just going to do some sealing up envelopes, getting some letters out, and that kind of stuff like that. And of course, the priest is there in the convent by himself, and that kind of thing. And I just got this notion that I wanted to be with the in crowd, and I had these new short shorts, and that was during the Days of Duke time, and I just thought that I could wear them anywhere, and normally I don't even dress like that, but just trying to be hip. And so anyway, my mother told me not to wear, but I said, oh, Mom, I can, and that kind of stuff like that. And not that I was trying to be provocative, I was just trying to be in. But when I got up there to report to work, if you would, he stopped me at that door. He said, where do you think you're going? And I said, I'm coming to work, because really, I mean, that's where I was, just silly and that kind of stuff, wasn't thinking anything. And he said, no, not dressed like that. You need to go home and change your clothes. And, you know, I appreciate that. Here it is, you know, 30, 40 years later, and I still value that. And the whole key of it was he made, as an adult, he made sure that even from my point, I wasn't even thinking anything like it, but from that point, he didn't even put the appearance or any idea to take place. He, you know, he just made sure that that didn't happen. And, you know, I value that, because as an adult, I found myself making sure never put myself in a situation that anything can even be perceived as out of line, whether the person intention right. is there or not. And he did exactly what he should have done as an adult. That just wasn't going to happen. And I had to walk my little happy butt right on home, change some clothes. Then I came back up there, you know, but, that's just an example of people in authority is so important that we behave accordingly.
And you're so right. I mean, I had a similar experience where I had a young lady in my classroom, and a lot of times people need to understand that females are at their very best when they're in 10th, 11th grade, and 12th grade, and, you know, freshmen in college. And so they, you know, they're at their very best. And so I had a young lady who would always sit in the very front of my classroom, and she would dress very provocatively. And I literally had to ask her to grow. I went across the hall, and I asked a female teacher, would she explain to this student why she was dressed inappropriately? I didn't want to have the conversation with her. I was concerned that she may not take the conversation well from me as a man. So I chose to go and ask a female teacher to talk to her about why she her dress, the way she was dressed, was creating a problem. You know, because here I am standing in the middle of my front of my classroom, trying to work on the board and then turning around and being subjected to the way she was dressed. And I just didn't want to do that day after day after day. And so, you know, a lot of times you have to try to find ways students understand what it is that they're doing that may be creating a problem, not only for teachers, but for their peers. And parents need to be mindful of that as well in this environment. Steve, what are your thoughts related to what these teachers have to contend with the way that students dress nowadays, and that they need to stop being predators?
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and being a man that, for me personally, being a man that has not always seen things the way I see things now. I used to be a hairdresser in my late 20s, and it was kind of easy for me to get into that business. My mother was a hairdresser, and when I got into the beauty culture world, I found out that I was easily distracted. And in that, you know, I to answer your question, I think that it takes a lot to keep your mind on what you're supposed to be doing in the professional world, even if you're in the corporate world or wherever. When you see eye candy, I guess I can say that. You know how God made men to be turned on, if you will, by things that he sees. He's attracted to things that he sees, and that's very much true. So, a lot of times when you see the opposite sex and they dress provocatively. We was talking about the other day how when black women wear jeans, and then we went on to say we wonder if they know what they're doing to us when they wear them jeans like that. And so these days and times, the younger female they can have a shape on their body, their body can start to take shape as early as what. 12 years old. And so, the professional has to always stay professional. And I like the answer that Audrey gave again is when you are in a position to train adults for the position that they are coming in the workforce for the position, the instructor has to be mindful of the distractions that may come about, and even the probabilities of being distracted. And so these warnings have to be given to stay focused, keep your mind on your job, and you're here to work, not to make friends. And I think making statements like that to both the employer and the employee coming in can save a lot of headache somewhere down the road.
And, Andre, let me just say this to you, because you brought up a good point about encouraging some professionals not to go straight to high school so that there'll be a greater age between them when they graduate from college. But I spent 10 years at the police, at the jail, and that was the same situation. I met one professional correction officer who was a female, and she said the same thing to me. She said, when I got the chance to become a correction officer, I went on the women's side until I got strong enough to deal with the emotional statements that men would say on the men's side. So she now works on the men's side, but she said she really went on the women's side until she grew strong enough to deal with the men, because what happens is a lot of times you use men are saying things to the young ladies who are correction officers who they don't get that same kind of attention and don't realize that they're being given attention in order to be manipulated. And so at school is the same thing. You have to be real careful with young people in high school because sometimes it's a setup, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they may be playing a game with your career and not knowing that, you know, how devastating that could be. I know when I first left South Carolina State, I went straight to a high school, and a experienced teacher came to me and told me, you know, don't let all those girls accumulate at your door in the morning. You know, so what was happening was when I'd come to work in the morning, I was one of the young men, new young men on campus. And so, you know, the young girls would want to come to my classroom and just accumulate around my door. Not that they were having a lot of conversations with me, but they were. I was a new teacher on the block, and so some of them would like to, you know, just come and talk and greet. But he recognized that that might be a problem, and he came and intervened on my behalf to tell me to be careful. And so you're right. A lot of times we need to help young people, because when I left college, I was 23, if I'm not mistaken. And so you had girls who were 17 and 18 who were in my classroom that were no more than 4 or 5 years, you know, at a different age than me. And so that's the closest that you could get sometimes. And you have to be aware that they may find you attractive because you are an older, you know, a little older than them. And they might be looking for a little older guy to have that kind of experience. So young teachers need to be really aware of the environment they're getting in once they leave college, and be able to deal with the kind of things that might go on. But again, you know, we were talking about bullying and being involved, but we, on both aspects, we need to make sure that we young teachers remain professional. Let me ask you this, Audrey. How do you all deal with, on the corporate level, deal with the dress code, and how do you implement it at work so it doesn't become a distraction to your employees?
It really depends on which department you're working in. We have a dress code, whereas if indeed you have interaction with the public, then of course business attire is required. Now, we don't get into how provocative something should be and that type of thing like that. The member of the leadership management team would need to handle that with a person one-on-one, just as they would any other personal item that they would, you know, have. Now, if you're not interacting with the public, it's a little more relaxed. You can have what we call a casual dress. However, even with casual dress, we indicate, you know, the length of a skirt, if you would, how far down that have to be, such that if you had to bend or stoop, no jeans with cutouts or anything like that. And as trends change, we have to just be mindful of it, and we just address it. And, you know, when it comes to, again, what some people may feel flattering to their figure, if indeed it's going to distract someone to a level that it disrupt the business, that's when we could have a right to say something. But if it's not really distracting the business, it's not really too much you could say. You just try to, you know, what I always do is just try to carry yourself as a member of the leadership team in a manner in which you almost, just by how you dress and how you carry yourself, it mm-hmm. almost kind of set the pace of what will be acceptable and non-acceptable on your team and in your department. And that's what I keep drilling down. You know, we are a team of standards, and, you know, we always rise above and try to do it that way. And one thing I always share with them, you know, if in doubt, when you look in the mirror, if you have a question of if this is appropriate or not, in most cases, that's a signal it's not. And, you know, you're dressing for work. You're not dressing to go fishing. You're not dressing to go on a picnic. You're not dressing to go to a nightclub. We're here for business. So you have appropriate clothes for appropriate event. And that's how I handle it. And I try to stay out of HR for getting in trouble. So that's the way I do it.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintain her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Mm-hmm.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time. We're here at 8 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, at 5 p.m. West Coast Time. We're here 7 days a week so that your voice can be heard loud and clear on the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. It's important that we stay on top of things and make people know where we are on the different issues that go along in our country. RJ, let me ask you this, and this is a little far removed from what we originally started talking about, but what is your position right now dealing with the environment that we're in? How would you like to see all schools go to uniforms in terms of elementary school through high school?
My son was coming up. He, of course, he went to Catholic school, so, of course, that required uniforms. And when I moved to Florida and he went to public school, that was a change for us, and he kind of stood up out like a sore thumb. So we kind of, you know, we went with everybody else, started wearing shorts and all that kind of stuff. But as a parent, it was helpful to me because, I mean, you buy the uniform and you get a couple of outfits for the weekend and special occasions. Occasions, and that's it. It's no worrying about what you're going to wear when you get up. And again, it's less expensive and it puts less pressure on people to keep up with the trends and the expense of clothes and all. So if I had a choice, I would say uniforms. And I think it looks so neat on children, and that's one less stress on them. And yet they can start to really do what they're there for, and that's focus on doing their best as students.
And I think you're so right. I mean, the students pick on kids for the least of things, and that would just remove a lot of the ways that students could pick at one another if they were all in uniform, and decrease the inappropriate dress that some students are bound to try to wear when they're at school. When I was teaching in the high schools, you know, you couldn't have midriffs and you couldn't wear halter tops. And there were so many lists of things that they were not supposed to wear. And teachers became what we call dress patrol. And so if all the students were wearing uniforms, that would just relieve everybody of one complication and then allow teachers to focus more on the education aspect. And a lot of times students are not really, you know, students just don't understand how important their education is, and they come there for a lot of different reasons, socializing most of the time, other than focusing on their work and understanding the kind of impact those grades are going to have on their futures. Some of them are just unaware that they're actually there for a purpose, and that at some point those grades are going to speak for them when they're not there to speak for themselves. And I know that it was kind of tough on me when I've always gone to public schools, always asking and begging for the different things that you needed, like you say, to stay with the Joneses and try to dress to impress. You know, all the students are out there trying to make sure they do something that kind of like takes them and puts them on a different level.
At that point, it wasn't like being like the Joneses. We were the Joneses, so we were setting the pace. So, you know, again, and I think uniforms would just give pride to that school. I mean, it brings about unity and everything else.
Yeah, I think you're so right. You know, so often these kids are trying to separate themselves and do things that are so distracting, along with, you know, the hair color, the the black lipstick, and, you know, they're always doing things to kind of set themselves apart, and it sometimes is very distracting in the classroom. And we, you know, in this day and time, we just don't need any distractions. I mean, the distractions with people dealing with the emotions of being bullied, the distractions of teachers being personally involved with their students, we just need less distractions, because these people are working on things that are going to impact their lives in a lot of different ways, and they don't need the stress that is going on related to these issues. Let's take another short break and come back and continue our conversation.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
All right, Audrey, what are your final thoughts for today?
Once again, let us be reminded that when we are put in a position, and even if it's just a position of being an adult, let us make sure that we are adamant about how we behave, how we treat others, and even any perception of a situation. Let us take our responsibility and our accountability seriously so that when we're impacting the lives of others, it will be in a positive way and not a negative.
And Andre, you are so right. You know, we need people to understand that they cannot allow their moral values to lapse and to let them give way into their personal and lustful desires, that our children are treasures and they're not to be mishandled or misdirected by the issues that teachers are dealing with or other professionals are dealing with. So we need all professionals to recognize the role that they play and the importance of them remaining professional at all times and not allowing themselves to go into places or areas that are not supposed to be walked on or journeyed on in the lives of our young people through social media or any other kind of contact. I want to thank you again, all of you, for your continued support We'll be here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And know that we always want you to be here so that your voices can be heard loud and clear. And we need to make sure that we're ready and prepared to deal with the issues that impact our lives throughout America. We are in a situation where no one can reside on the sidelines. Everybody must participate in making sure our country goes in the direction that it should be. See you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
That we love to see. Every time we hear the music and feel this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever.